Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This podcast is made possible by our supporters over on Patreon. If you'd like to support the show and get your own RSS feed with ad-free shows and extra episodes every month, then head over to patreon.com/nerdcaveretro. And we're back for another episode of the Nerd Cave Retro Show. My name is Jason Robbins.
And my name is Derek Diamond.
So how was your weekend, my friend?
Not too bad. I got a lot of editing done for our mutual friend Steve's film, The Walker, that we filmed a couple of months ago. Got one scene left to edit, and it's kind of like the big climax of the movie, and it's a pretty elaborate scene, so I saved it for last by design, so that way I could dedicate all my efforts to that. So hopefully I may have it done by the end of the night, but if not, by tomorrow.
That's cool. So you can see the finish line. You're like, you're running up on it right now.
I'm at like the final turn before I cross the finish line.
Awesome. I can't wait to see a rough cut of it.
Yeah.
So hopefully Steve will let me see it when it's a rough cut.
If he doesn't, then just get with me.
Yeah. Hey, give me that there link.
Yep. But how about you?
It was okay weekend. I'm in that weird period where I just finished, you know, putting a 1,000 hours into Tears of the Kingdom, and now I'm in that weird transition period where I don't really know what I want to play right now, so I'm kind of just jumping from game to game, not really committing to anything, so I'm just looking for that next game to really sink my teeth into, you know?
Yeah, it's like instead of bar hopping, you're game hopping.
Yep, pretty much.
Just trying to find that place where you can stay a while.
I think it's getting close to that time. I think I do want to get an Xbox.
Yeah,
because I want to get Game Pass. I want to just try out, because Game Pass seems like a pretty good deal, and I'd like to try it out.
I will eventually, but I know with everything that I've got coming up, I'm trying to save money. Like with going to LA in a couple of weeks.
Oh yeah,
and then I've got a trip to Orlando at the end of the year, so probably won't be able to get an Xbox anytime soon. But eventually, I'll get one.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I might get a PC, or because you can do Game Pass on PC. I don't know. There's too many avenues to play games these days. It's like a embarrassment of riches, and then I get choice paralysis.
I know. It's like you have too many options.
Yeah.
to choose from.
But this week, it is another top five list. And for this week, we're doing, thanks to our good friend, Mr. Brandon Rutledge. He suggested this one. This was a good one. It's top five worst game from great franchises. And we got a lot of contributions for this one this week.
Yeah, and it goes to show you that, you know, out of all the great franchises in video games, from Mario to Sonic and even the more recent ones like Halo, you know, and other like Call of Duty, just long-standing franchises, but every franchise has a miss where you're just like, what were they thinking when this happened?
You know,
they're usually forgivable because the majority of the games in the franchise are good.
Yeah,
but there's still that one little black eye.
But you know what? The only one that I really couldn't think of a bad game was Mario. But I know there.
I've got one.
Yeah, it didn't occur to me until I saw it on your list, and I was like, oh, I didn't think about that one.
There's a couple, and I will say, like, before we get into our list, people are going to ask me why I didn't include the Zelda CDI games. It's because I've never played them.
Yeah, I haven't either. So, I would have put them on mine, but I never played them.
I mean, I don't even know if there's five, but they would have probably been my 1 through 5.
I don't even know if they're counted as canon at this point. Like, they're just sort of the weird little offshoot thing.
They're the relative that you don't want to talk about. Because every family has one.
Yep. Oh, I'm that person in my family.
No.
But yeah, if you want to go ahead and get started, we'll start off with your list, and then we'll go to mine.
Okay, sounds good. So I don't have any honorable mentions, but I will say this is one of the easier lists that I came up with. I actually made my list after we did last week's show. Mm-hmm. After you cleared the Google Doc, I'm like, I already know what I'm going to put. So starting at number five is Super Mario Brothers: The Lost Levels. And I say that because for two reasons. One, people bash Super Mario Brothers 2 unfairly.
Yeah.
Because to me, it's similar enough to the Mario style, but different enough that it doesn't feel like a retread of the first game.
Mm-hmm.
Mario Brothers: The Lost Levels is Super Mario Brothers 2 in Japan. And while it can be fun, it is brutally hard.
And it's more
like
of the same, too.
Unplayable.
Yeah, and it's more of the same, too. Just
yeah, it's you've got the poison mushrooms that you've got to account for. But other than that, it's really not that different. And it's not, we talk about the line between hard in the sense that you want to keep going and then just frustratingly hard to where you just quit playing.
Yeah,
that Mario Brothers Lost Levels crossed that line. So it had to make my top five.
Yeah, I didn't even think of the Lost Levels. If I would have thought about it, I would have put that on my list.
Number four is Pac-Man 2, The New Adventures, one of my long-standing disliked games.
You hate this game as much as I hate Fester's Quest.
Probably. Oh, well, so it's like, to give a Reader's Digest version of my dislikes of this game, Pac-Man, iconic game, you know, put arcade gaming on the map. Miss Pac-Man, even better. Probably, if not the best, top three best arcade game of all time.
Oh, yeah, easy.
So how do you make a sequel to that? You do a point-and-click adventure with Pac-Man, because that's what people want to play. If you want to make a point-and-click game like that, that's fine. But make it original.
Yeah.
Don't incorporate. And we're going to get to that again in another choice of mine. And I know it's on your list, too.
Yep.
So that's why Pac-Man 2 is on my list. Number three is Castlevania 64. Now, I've said I'm not a gigantic Castlevania fan, though I have grown more of an appreciation for it the more we've done this show and having conversations with you and actually playing some of the games. The original Castlevania games are fun. This is not one of them. It is peak N64 trash.
Yeah.
In my opinion, everything from the blocky graphics to horrible gameplay, it's just a bad game.
And it just looks like garbage too, even for the Nintendo 64. It's terrible.
a lot of the N64 games have not aged well. This is up there on the worst aging N64 games, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's absolutely 100% unplayable.
Number two is Zelda 2, The Adventure of Link. You guys know this had to be on my list. Legend of Zelda, one of the greatest games of all time. Still doesn't get enough credit. The original Zelda game, like Mario gets a lot of the credit for putting Nintendo on the map. But I think Zelda, as far as that type of game, was a trailblazer. Mm-hmm. So what do you do as a follow-up? You make it completely different and take away a lot of what made the original game great.
And you make it a side-scroller.
Now, we played Agalos, which is like it made in the same style mm-hmm. of Zelda 2. But that game was a lot of fun. And I think, much like what I was talking about with Pac-Man 2, had you made this a non-Zelda game, if you kept the same, you know, gameplay, even like that medieval type of setting, but you took the Zelda theme out of it, it would have been fine.
Yeah.
But, you know, then Nintendo had, in my opinion, their greatest rebound with Link to the Past.
Yep.
But this Zelda 2 is, again, like that relative that you don't like to be around.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people might have thought that would be my number one, but there is a game that just barely beat it out, and that is Sonic the Hedgehog, the 2006 game. First of all, they couldn't come up with a unique title for it, so they just called it Sonic the Hedgehog.
This was
released
Xbox 360 game?
Yes.
Okay.
So, visually, this game is really good. Like, it's got some of the best-looking graphics of any Sonic game. That being said, it's kind of weird having Sonic in almost like a super realistic setting.
Yeah.
Because you know how like even the human characters have a very distinct like animated look to them. Mm-hmm. Robotnik looks like a cross between a cartoon and a live action person. Like he looks like a weird human, and it makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
That and the story is okay, and it introduces a couple of new characters like Silver the Hedgehog, but the gameplay is bad. The camera system, it was bad in the Dreamcast games, but it's just as bad here. And it's kind of like the Twilight Princess of Sonic, where they tried to put it in a realistic setting and it just didn't work. And it's terrible.
It's so weird. Like, why would you put Sonic in a world with realistic people? They could have done something more along the lines of like Mario Odyssey when he went to New Donk City, where even the human beings are still stylized, you know, and not, they don't look like you're in Grand Theft Auto, you know, like it just doesn't fit. It doesn't work.
Yeah, it is just one of those. And I've been able to play through really any Sonic game that has come out. But I never finished this one just because it bored me to tears.
I've seen some playthrough of this game, and I'm just like, ugh, why?
Yeah, no thanks.
All right, well,
what about yours?
On to my list. I only have one runner-up on here, and this is a Star Wars game, and it's Star Wars Masters of Terras Kasi. Do you remember this game?
I have not, to use a Star Wars reference, that's a name I've not heard in a long time.
It is the fighting game that they put out for, it was the original PlayStation. It was late in the mm-hmm. life of the original PlayStation 2. And Rampage in the chat room, what's going on, Rampage?
Rampage!
And I remember being so excited for this game. I was like, holy crap, we're going to get a fighting game with Star Wars characters? It came out, me and my roommate got it the first day it came out, and we played it for about 30 seconds, and we're both like, uh-oh, this is not good.
I haven't thought of that game since it came out, but yeah, it was bad.
It was real bad.
As they would say in the area we live, it's real bad.
Real bad. All right, on to my actual list. At number five, we have Resident Evil 6. I think I got about 30 minutes into that game before I just threw down the controller and was like, nah, I'm done. Not doing this one. Because they did a sharp left turn when they went in, when they did 5. Because, you know, the first 4 are survival horror games. The 4th one went a little bit more action-y. But by the 5th game, they turned it basically into an action game that just happened to have zombies. And then by the 6th one was just, it was terrible. Like, it was just, they were a little long in the tooth at that point.
Yeah, I have never played it, but I've watched some gameplay of it. And yeah, it didn't help its case.
No, it just, if you're going through the Resident Evil series, I would say play 1 through 4. Skip 5 and 6, and then go straight to 7 and 8. Those are good.
Little surprised that Code Veronica wasn't on there.
Well, Code Veronica has its merits, but it deserves to have a remake in the style of Resident Evil 2. I think if they would do a remake of it, it would do really well. It's just, it was a little tough to try and go back and play it a couple of months ago.
Right.
Because it's just, man, those controls just suck. They're terrible. At number 5, we have a game that I love, the Mass Effect series. It's my favorite, one of my favorite franchises of the last 2 decades. But man, Andromeda was such a disappointment. That game did not need to be made. It came out too soon. I think if they would have waited a good decade before putting it out, it would have been better. But man, I got about an hour into that game. I was like, I just don't even want to play this. There's nothing hooking me in this game.
Yeah. I mean, when you look at Mass Effect, it's one of the best gaming trilogies ever made. And I agree with you. I think if they had waited longer and then put out Andromeda, it would have been better received. But when you put out something like that to follow an incredible gaming trilogy, you're just setting yourself up for failure.
Yeah, especially with that story that you play through with the original trilogy, with your character, all those experiences you went through, and then to just completely, like, it's not even literally not even in the same universe. Like, it's in a different galaxy. That's why they call it Andromeda. They went to the Andromeda galaxy where none of this stuff that happened in the first game is ever going to happen there. So it's a whole, like, why even call it Mass Effect?
Because it would sell, because of the name.
And at number 3, of course, we have Legend of Zelda 2, The Adventure of Link. I will never apologize for my hatred of this game. I can't stand it, and it just needs, all copies need to be burned at the stake, or buried in the desert like E.T.
It is error.
He is error. And I know I'm going to make some people mad with this entry, but I had to put...
I'm not one of them.
I had to put another Legend of Zelda game on my list. At number 2, we have Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess. For the sheer fact that I was so excited for this game, I got it on GameCube when it came out, because if you remember, it was the last game they put out for the GameCube and the first game they put out for the Wii.
The Wii.
And I had GameCube, so I begged for it for Christmas that year. Got it. I got a few hours into it, and I was like, I have never played a Zelda game where I was that bored playing it.
Everybody wanted their realistic Zelda game.
Yep.
And they got it, and it wasn't that great. Like, I've said it for years on this show. It has its moments. Like, I like Ganondorf's story arc in this game. And Midna is an interesting character. Like, the Twilight Realm is an interesting facet of the Zelda universe. It's just not that exciting. Yeah. The execution is not that exciting. Like, from the beginning, you know how with all those old school Zelda games, you do, like, some kind of tutorial to kind of get yourself acquainted with what you got to do? Even that's boring.
Yeah. I don't want to spend 45 minutes learning how to shoot a bow and arrow. Like, that was so not fun. I don't want to spend an hour trying to learn how to ride a horse. I don't want to do all that. I just want to go out into Hyrule and adventure. That's what I want to do.
Imagine playing it with motion controls.
No, not at all. There's no way.
Yeah, it's not a good game.
And at my number one spot is, of course, Castlevania 64, because that is probably one of the worst games ever made. And I love the Castlevania series, and this game is just a black spot on a pretty good track record of games, and ugh, it is so bad.
This is the turd in the Castlevania gaming franchise.
It's the turd in the Castlevania Punch Bowl.
Yep, exactly.
If you've never played it, just do yourself a favor. Just go look at some gameplay footage on YouTube, and you will see what we're talking about. It's the ugliest game you'll ever see, or at least one of them.
And I took the bullet in reviewing that on the show a while back, and man, it wasn't great. We'll say that, but yeah, watch some gameplay, and that'll make the decision for you.
Yep.
And if you still play it, I can't help you.
Yep. If you want to play it, good on you. But you're not gonna have a good time. And before we go into your top five list, you listeners out there, Derek, would you like to do our Patreon shout outs?
Absolutely. We want to shout out our awesome patrons over at patreon.com/nerdcaveretro. We want to shout out James, aka at Jimbo Jr. on our Discord page, Travis Martin, Raven, Danny House, Justin Nispel, John West, Daniel Salmon, Mr. B-Rez Coffee himself, Mike Eveland, Tyler Watson, AxeBlade07, Armez Jackson, Carlos Longoria, a.k.a. I am the
Rampage,
Staff Sergeant Sketch, Gus and Penny, Matthew Salmon, Joey Image, and of course, Mama Diamond herself, Donna Diamond.
Mama Diamond.
Thank you all so much for your continued contributions of keeping the lights on for us here at the Nerd Cave Retro Show. And for as little as $1 a month, just $1, that's 4 quarters, that's 10 dimes. I'm not going to go into the whole currency, but that tells you how little you have to give us to get your own RSS feed with ad-free shows. And that's not all. You get early access to our monthly bonus episodes, which this month we normally do a commentary track, but we did something a little different this month. We spoiled the heck out of Tears of the Kingdom and talk about, you know, what we liked about the game and what we disliked about it. So if you're a Zelda fan, definitely go check that out. But we've also done some,
you know what else? That particular episode, the Tears of the Kingdom episode we did for this month, it's not getting released to the public. It is Patreon only. So if you want to listen to it, you're going to have to be a patron.
Exactly. But we also do our fun commentary tracks like the Batman 1989 movie, Transformers the movie, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, animated shows like Darkwing Duck, Tailspin, Batman the Animated Series. The list is near endless on what we've done. So if you want to be a part of our fun Patreon community, just head over to patreon.com/nerdcaveretro. And for new patrons, send us your social media information, whether it's Twitter/X, Facebook, or Instagram, so we can give you a proper shout out.
And I'm going to play this as our bumper going into everybody else's top five. So let me play this.
You look like your head fell on the cheese dip back in 1957.
Up first, on Facebook, we have my co-host over on the Open Micers podcast, Mr. Jacob Craig, chimes in with, at his number five, Assassin's Creed Unity, one of the worst stories and by far the worst combat mechanics in the series. I've only ever played the very first Assassin's Creed, and I didn't like it very much.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. It looked cool, but it's just not my thing.
Seemed like a lot of work, and I don't like stealth games. That's just not my thing.
Yeah, my only exception are the Arkham games, which I know we're about to talk about.
Yeah, and that is number four, Batman Arkham Origins, a much unneeded prequel in the series. The whole game seems like an unnecessary cash grab. I never played Arkham Origins.
I have, and I don't disagree with what he said.
That's not the Telltale one, is it? Is it, or is it still in the Arkham game like canon?
It's still in the Arkham game canon. It's a prequel to Arkham Asylum.
I never played that one. Number three, Kingdom Hearts 3. A very unpopular opinion, I'm sure, but I just couldn't get into the story of this game, and the properties used didn't interest me at all.
I haven't played Kingdom Hearts 3 yet, so I can't really comment, but that is disappointing because the first two games are really, really good.
Yeah. I still have only ever played that first one. I still need to play the others. Number two, Halo Wars. The biggest disappointment of all time as a kid was getting this game for Christmas and realizing that it's basically the board game Risk, but with Halo stuff. I liked Halo Wars myself. I like real-time strategy stuff like that.
Yeah, Halo Wars wasn't bad. With games like that, we used to play Lord of the Rings Battle for Middle-earth 2 for the Xbox 360. And my friends and I, we played that game religiously. Mm-hmm. But I never got into Halo Wars, personally.
I wish they would do a remake of it myself. I like playing it.
Are you saying that because you actually want it, or is this to troll Jacob?
No, I actually do want it. I liked playing that game. I liked Halo Wars, and I used to play Star Wars Empire at War on PC. Yeah. Did you ever play that one?
I never played it, but I know of it.
Oh, it was so good. They need to remake that one, too. And it had his number one, Resident Evil Code Veronica. I think it could use a remake still, but as the original game stands, the story is subpar, controls are like driving a tank, and it's hard as dog shit to play without a walkthrough. Agreed. It is. Those controls are just... I'm so glad we moved on from those tank controls.
They're really tough to go back and play. Mm-hmm. And people don't understand, like, that really can take you out of a video game. Like, if you can't control it, then you're not going to play it. Like, I'm not going to play it.
Yeah. I mean, at the time, it's all we had, and it was, you know,
right.
it was a lot easier then because it's all we had. But going back to it after, you know, 20 years of having dual analog and, you know, you control the camera and everything, it's like going back and playing that. It's like, it's almost impossible.
We didn't have anything to compare it to back then, and we go back and play it now, we have the modern games to thank for that.
It's like trying to drive a car with your hands and your feet tied behind your back.
Next up, we have Mr. Josh Hartman. He says, "Let's see if I'm forgotten about again."
No, not this time, sir.
You are not forgotten. You are one of the first ones we're going to read, sir. And these will be hot takes, just how I feel. Also, I wish I could put Metroid as a whole on here, but I can't. Just watch Alien and Aliens. Mm-hmm. That is a hot take. Number five, Mega Man 8. I honestly love it, but I know it's not that good. Jump, duck, duck. I've never played Mega Man 8.
I don't remember if I did or not. I think I did. I don't remember.
Number four is Final Fantasy 13-2. I was going to put Final Fantasy 10 on here at first because I hate, that's in all caps, hate Titus, but I hate Hope a little more. As if the numbering system wasn't confusing enough, you make sequels to your numbered installments and you call them Final Fantasy 10-2 and 13-2.
Like, what are you doing?
I personally can't wait till Final Fantasy 27-12.
Yeah.
that's going to be the peak of the franchise. I'm probably going to get some hate mail for that, but it's okay. Number three, Castlevania Symphony of the Night. Listen, I really like the first few and I love the way this looks, but no, it was almost Castlevania 64, but no.
I like Symphony of the Night, but I mean, I haven't played it in years. Maybe I need to go back and play it again. It might not hold up, but I thought Symphony of the Night was great.
I'm trying to remember, have I played this game?
It's the one where you play it as Alucard.
Right, okay. No, I have not played this one, but I recognize the cover.
I remember it being really hard, too.
Number two, Metal Gear Solid 3. I hated the music being like James Bond because I don't like 007. I don't mind Metal Gear Solid 2, but this one was so boring. I've tried playing a Metal Gear Solid game, and much like we were talking about with Assassin's Creed, It's just not my thing.
Yeah, my brother got me a Metal Gear Solid game for the PS2 last Christmas, and I still haven't cracked it open yet. Just because I know if it's anything like Splinter Cell, I tried to play Splinter Cell back in the day. I just could not get into it. I don't like stealth games and just that type of stuff. I hate being stealthy. I like to bust in like the freaking Kool-Aid man and just destroy everything in the room.
After you yell, oh yeah!
Oh yeah!
And his number one, Resident Evil Umbrella Corps. It's god-awful. I love Resident Evil and even love Operation Raccoon City, but UC was so god-awfully bad.
I never played Umbrella Corps. I don't remember that one.
Yeah, I've never played it.
I have to look that up.
Yeah.
But we didn't forget about you this time, Josh. We didn't forget about you.
Nope.
Up next, we have Mr. Mark Simmons, who goes by a couple of different names. He's at MushmouthTB on Twitter, and he's also known as Touch Biloxi. He's also in a fight with him and Jacob Craig are fighting right now.
Yeah.
Doing diss tracks at one another for open micers.
So I've heard.
But his list is Zelda Skyward Sword, Sonic Heroes, Final Fantasy VII, Resident Evil 5. Yeah, I almost put 5, but I think 5 is still enjoyable, but 6 was just terrible. And then his last one is Crash Bandicoot, The Wrath of Cortex.
A lot of people don't like Skyward Sword as far as in the Zelda camp.
I never played Skyward Sword.
It's not the best Zelda game, but to me it's not as bad as Adventure of Link or Twilight Princess. It's just really short. It's important to the story, but you can kind of take it or leave it.
Yeah.
And then I thought about putting Sonic Heroes as an honorable mention. It's one where you play as like a team of characters. So you have like Sonic, Tails, and Knuckles as a team, and you can switch between the three, and they each have their own unique abilities. Good idea in theory. Execution, not so much.
Yeah. Rampage in the chat room says Umbrella Corps is all action. Decent action game, but terrible Resident Evil game. I'm going to have to go look at it, because like I said, I never played it.
Yeah, and then I'm surprised he put Final Fantasy VII on his list. Like, that's regarded as, like, the best Final Fantasy game ever made.
I know. I've played both the original and the remake and enjoyed the one that I like. He's like, that one's terrible.
Of course.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
All right, next up we have our, from Twitter, we have at Dave Gladow. His top five list, he says, only games I've played, so no Zelda CDI games. Number five, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, Back from the Sewers for the Game Boy. Number four, Tecmo Super Bowl 2. I didn't know there was a second one.
I didn't either. That must have been maybe a late addition to the NES.
Maybe that's a good thing we don't know about it. Number three, Street Fighter 1. Number two, Super Contra for the arcade. And number one, Super Mario Brothers, The Lost Levels.
Somebody else got The Lost Levels on there.
Yeah. I have never played Street Fighter 1, but I know that it's regarded as way inferior to 2.
Same here. I never played it, but I know it's lowly regarded as the worst.
Yeah.
Let's see. Our newest Discord member, at Hushed Pixel, writes in with at his number 5, Mario is missing. Didn't you review that one?
I did. It's one of my guilty pleasure games. I'm not going to like it's. Yeah, it's not a great game, but I don't hate playing it.
But it's an educational game. Can an educational game be listed in a worst game list? I mean, yeah, but still, it's educational.
Technically, I would say, yeah, it can.
Let's see. That is number 4, the CDI Zelda games. I knew somebody was going to throw those on there.
Braver than I am.
His number 3 is Halo 5, and says Halo 2 was saved by multiplayer.
Now, that's a hot take.
That is a hot take.
That's a very hot take.
Halo 2. Because, I mean, the Arbiter became in it. Part 2, man. Gotta love the Arbiter.
I could see why Halo... Like, ever since Bungie stopped making Halo, it just hasn't been the same.
Yeah. Here's a hot take right here.
Yeah, this is a spicy take.
This is spicy for you guys out there. At his number 2, Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic 2. This just stabbed me right in the heart, man. Like, why do you hate this game so much?
I'm going to have to write him on Discord and just be like, what? Why?
Why?
I'm legitimately curious. Yeah. Like, why do you dislike this game so much?
I mean, I can understand if you're not an RPG person and you went to go play it without ever having played an RPG before. I figured you'd be like, what the hell am I playing?
Yeah.
But man, this game is... I thought it was just great.
Yeah, I love both the KOTOR games.
And at his number 1 spot, Half-Life 2, Episode 2, worst cliffhanger ever. And I know that they've been, like, Valve has been teasing Half-Life 3 for, like, 20 years now. So I don't know if you guys are ever going to get the resolution to your cliffhanger for Half-Life 2.
There are some people that are still keeping the faith.
Yeah.
And more power to them, but I don't know. Like, there are a lot of games that I would love sequels to, but I've accepted we're never going to get a true Banjo-Kazooie sequel.
Yeah.
Or Conker, and I don't see it happening with Half-Life.
Well, I think pretty much anything to do with Rare and their Nintendo stuff they did, and Valve with Half-Life 3, I don't think any of those things are ever going to happen.
It's unfortunate, but realistically, it's probably not going to happen.
Yeah. Valve's too busy running Steam now. That's their cash cow. They ain't worried about Half-Life.
Yeah, which is understandable.
And now we move into Discord.
Yep, moving into Discord, we have Mr. Raven Ghostpaw, number 5, Mega Man 5. Only say that because the weapons you get are garbage. Number 4, World of Warcraft Cataclysm. Number 3
agree with that because, man, I was so looking forward to Cataclysm before it came out because it was like, holy crap, they're going to change everything. And then they did, and it sucked afterwards.
Again, it's like, how do you follow these, like, iconic games? Like we were talking about with Mass Effect.
Mm-hmm.
Number 3, Final Fantasy X-2. That was the one with the really annoying, like, Japanese pop music that would play during all the commercials. Like, it made me not want to play the games.
I don't even remember. I don't know. Other than Final Fantasy VII, I don't know what any of the other Final Fantasies are.
The memories are starting to come back to me, so I'm going to move on. Number 2, Mario Party 4. Yeah, Mario Party 4 is pretty bad. And then number 1, Guilty Gear Strive.
I don't know. I never played Guilty Gear. What is Guilty Gear?
I don't know. I've never played those games.
Huh, you have to look that up. Up next, we have the man himself, Mr. Brandon Rutledge, the man who came up with this top 5 list. And he says, here is my list, dishonorable mentions. Final Fantasy, 13?
Yep.
Way too damn linear, and half of the characters are just obnoxious. Mortal Kombat 4, first attempt to shift to a 3D plane and failed badly. Mario Party 9, everyone moves at the same time, even with individual turns, not fun. Castlevania 64, so much wrong, and don't get me started on the camera. You're not lying in the least.
Nope.
Dragon Ball Z, Ultimate Battle 22, easily the worst fighting game for the DBZ franchise. And GoldenEye 007, we remake with horrible controls and replacing Pierce Brosnan with Daniel Craig. When did this happen?
I forgot about that. Yeah, they did replace him. And I don't understand why, because Daniel Craig wasn't in the GoldenEye movies.
Why didn't
you just make a Casino Royale game with the Daniel Craig James Bond?
I had no idea this happened. Like, this is news to me.
Yep, I remember that.
I was so far away from any kind of interest in Nintendo around the time of the Wii. Like, once I went, because I went from the GameCube to the 360, and then from the 360 to PlayStation 4. Like, I just completely missed everything Wii and Wii U.
The Wii was great. Wii U, not so much.
Number five, Dirge of Cerberus, Final Fantasy VII. The biggest example of why Square Enix needs to stop venturing into other genres for Final Fantasy. Number four, Kinect Star Wars. When the only decent game mode is the Dance Central knockoff, then we've got a problem.
I had a friend who loved the Dance Central knockoff of Kinect Star Wars, and it drove me insane.
Yeah, I never even got a Kinect. Like, that just did not interest me in the least.
Yeah.
At number three, Resident Evil Survivor, a light gun game with a boring plot, dull protagonist, and awkward controls. Number two, Mortal Kombat Armageddon. Good, massive roster, bad, everything else. Worst, everyone has the same exact fatalities. Mm-hmm. That sounds lazy. And at his number one spot, Sonic 06. Need I say more?
It makes me happy that he put that on his list.
Yeah. And
let's see. Next up, we have Mr. Armez Jackson. Mm-hmm. Top five worst games of great gaming franchises are as follows. Number five, Metroid Other M. I never played that one, but I heard it was not great. Number four, Castlevania 64. Next up is Resident Evil 6. Every Batman game except for the Arkham series, the NES games, and the reskin Final Fight SNES game. And Final Fantasy Mystic Quest rounds out his list.
I thought you liked Mystic Quest.
It's the only Final Fantasy game I've played that I've actually kind of enjoyed.
Really?
Yeah. Well, no, I did like Final Fantasy 3. I never finished it, but I did play it.
Yeah, I need to go back and play. Is it Final Fantasy 3 that's on the Super Nintendo?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's the one I started and I got stuck and I was going to restart and never did. And up next we have the real Big Wall himself coming
Wally,
in on the Discord.
Yes.
He said, at his number five, he has Hotel Mario. Yes, I played it on CDI. No, I didn't play it for long. I completely forgot about Hotel Mario.
Yeah, me too.
Dude, the CDI games just didn't even register with me when I was writing this list. I never played them, so I don't feel right putting them on my list, but they just didn't even enter my brain.
Nope.
Number four, Star Wars Battlefront 2 is a good idea on paper, but the grinding and microtransactions made it less than fun for people who didn't have a lot of time or money to invest, and that is why I stopped playing that game as well.
Yep.
Let's see, Pac-Man 2. I mean, come on, what even is this? And Derek agrees. I'm glad I never played that game. I don't have the hatred that you guys have for it.
Consider yourself lucky.
At his number two spot, Guitar Hero Live. They overcomplicated literally everything. Rock Band 3 did what they were trying to do for far more. Rock Band. Let me back up here. Rock Band 3 did what they were trying to do far more successfully with the Pro Guitar setting, which used a real expensive AF guitar or controller with over 100 buttons to replicate the real thing, but GH wouldn't teach you anything. The randomly available songs for a fee was just dumb too. If you're going to have a subscription-based track list, give me access to all tracks all the time. If you're going to buy a Guitar Hero controller with over 100 buttons on it, why don't you just go get a real guitar at that point?
Yeah, learn the real thing.
Yeah, I mean, isn't that what, what's that, what's it called? There's a game that you can actually plug your guitar into, like, it started with PS3, I think. Oh, what is the name of that game?
Let's see. You said it was for PS3?
It started on PS3 and then I think went to PS4, or it might have been on, no, I think it might have been on PS4 and then you could play it on PS5. It's something you can actually play, like, real songs, like, on an actual guitar.
Let's see. I'm seeing Guitar Hero.
It's not Guitar Hero. It's, like, and it's not Rock Band. It's, like, Rock something.
Rock. Let's see. Let me try this.
Let's see.
Rocksmith?
Rocksmith. That's it. Rocksmith.
Yep. There we go.
At his number one spot, Halo Infinite. Something feels lost in translation in this one. It feels sterile and the tone is off-putting. The levels aren't as well constructed as previous entries. I never played it.
I didn't either. Sounds like we lucked out.
Yeah, I think so.
And then last but not least.
Yes.
We have I Am the Rampage.
Rampage.
Number 5, Metal Gear Solid 5, Phantom Pain. Let's forget a good stealth story and make every mission and level design the exact same thing over and over. That, God, that sounds terrible.
Yeah.
Number 4, Mega Man 1. I just put this in here to mess with Jason. But seriously, Mega Man 2 was such an improvement that Mega Man 1 is hot garbage.
I still say Mega Man 1 is still a fun game to go play. It's not broken or anything, but man, once you play Mega Man 2, it's sort of like going back to 1 is like, I don't want to. I just want to play 2.
Yeah. Number 3, you mentioned this earlier, Star Wars yep. Masters of Teras Kasi. If you've never played this, consider yourself lucky. Definitely needs a remake if they improve it.
Here's the thing. Even if they do remake, if they were to remake Masters of Teras Kasi, I mean, how do you even, I mean, I guess they did it with DC versus Mortal Kombat. Like, it's sort of like, how do you make it balanced, you know? Because, I mean,
right.
If you pit, you know, Han Solo against Darth Vader, I'm sorry. As much as I love Darth Vader, he's just going to kill Han Solo, like, instantly. Like,
yeah.
You know, how do you balance a game like that?
Yeah. Number 2, Sonic the Hedgehog 4, just no. I really thought he was going to put Sonic Frontiers on his list just to mess with me.
Yeah.
But no, Sonic 4, it was a good idea, but it, I don't know, it just didn't hold my interest. You know, I was really excited when it came out because, like, oh, it's an actual, like, true sequel to the classic Genesis games, and you're just kind of meh.
Yeah, I never played it.
And then number 1, Street Fighter 1. Two playable characters, sort of. Special attacks, you can try, but probably won't happen. Responsive controls, ha! Yeah, right. I'm glad they got it right after this one, though.
We may have to go back and do a review of Street Fighter 1.
Okay. I'm down with that.
I'm interested now. Because like I said, yeah. I've never played it, so I'm going to go back
either.
And check it out.
I mean, I'm down for that. I know we've been talking, you know, off and on about doing a dual review because we haven't done one in a while. So
yeah,
I'm down.
A dual review. We're supposed to do one for what is it, Rocket Knight?
Yeah,
that's the call. We're supposed to do one for Rocket Knight here pretty soon. So
okay,
that sounds fun. But yeah, that brings us to the end of our top five lists, and we do have a nice letter. We got earlier
yeah.
today an email. Let me, do I have a good, here, hold on a second. Let me, hold on. I know we got something here. Oh, here we go. I'll play this for going into it.
Monkey!
There we go. An email from Johnny O, signed it Johnny O. Hey guys, I just wanted to send you a long overdue thanks for your podcast. I do a lot of driving for work, and I'm always looking for new interesting things to listen to, and discovered Nerd Cave Retro a year ago. I decided to start from your first episode and to gradually catch up to live listening to all of the reviews but that interested me, which was most of them. I consider myself to be somewhere between a casual gamer and a diehard at heart. Being in my late 30s now, I don't have nearly as much time to play, but still enjoy hearing the latest gaming news from you as well as reviews of classic games. As a Switch owner, I spend as much time playing classics in the online library as new stuff and your podcast is added to that joy when I have time to play. Keep up the good work. You guys have an awesome way about you. You just seem like good dudes and very relatable. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah.
I also wanted to add a little input to one of your upcoming reviews, Jet Force Gemini, because it's always been somewhat of a hidden gem, no pun intended, in my opinion. I was actually about to email you two to request that you do a review of this game at some point, but when I heard last week, it would be coming up soon. The game came out when I was 13, going on 14. Derek, I believe we're about the same age, and I immediately loved it. I believe what hurt this game was that Donkey Kong 64 came out just over a month later, and that was understandably everyone's focus. Even I abandoned the Jet Force for a time to focus on DK64. Jet Force Gemini is not without its cons, such as some camera issues and the difficulty and at times intense frustration of trying to save all the tribals. I feel the pros greatly outweigh the cons, though, including a great story, characters, graphics for the time, and arguably the greatest soundtrack for a Rare game, which is saying a lot. It features an epic score, which is part of why I felt it could have made for a great animated film. I'd say a good 6 to 8 hours of playing will give you enough appreciation for it, but I'd love to hear your honest opinion of the game. Perhaps nostalgia is blurring my vision. Anyway, you guys are great. Love the show and hope the two of you are doing well, and I look forward to more episodes to come. Your listener, Johnny O. Well, thank you, Johnny, for the kind words.
That was fantastic. Yeah, thank you for the kind words. And yeah, that's actually going to be a next week's review. I'm going to be reviewing Jet Force Gemini, so you won't have to wait long.
I never played that game, so this is...
I didn't either.
I'll have to look at some gameplay before next week.
It's one of the few Rare games that I've never played. I'm excited.
Was this on the 64?
Mm-hmm.
I thought... I could have sworn this was a GameCube game.
I knew that it was around the time of Donkey Kong 64 coming out. I always thought that this was after, but... You know, in hearing that message, you know, it does remind me that, yeah, it was before Donkey Kong 64.
That's crazy. I that whole area from like the years between like 96 and 2000, like a lot of that span just squishes together for me. Like a lot of stuff, especially a lot of stuff like this, I thought came out on the GameCube, but it was for the 64.
Yeah, it seems like a game that would have been perfect for the GameCube, but you know, I know that it didn't get as much acclaim as like a Donkey Kong 64, and you know, now we know why.
Yeah.
And even that had its detractors. So I haven't had a chance to dive into it yet, but I'm going to in the next couple of days. And then the good thing is that next Monday is Labor Day, so I'll have a 3-day weekend to really sit down and enjoy it.
Awesome. And I'm not sure what I'm going to review. Oh, yeah, I think I'm going to do... I played a little bit of G.I. Joe, Real American Hero, for the NES the other day. I don't know why I never played that game when I was a kid, because I loved G.I. Joe. So I started playing it the other day, and I think I might review that for my next review.
Okay. Sweet.
After that. But... I guess we'll save these. We got a lot of news from you guys over the past couple of days, but we'll save it. We'll save all this news for next week, unless you want to just do this one news story here about. I feel we would be as a retro gaming show. I feel we'd be remiss if we didn't cover this, because I had no clue about this until Wally tagged us in it the other day.
Yeah, let's do it.
This is from GameSpot.com. The Atari 2600 is back as a new console for $130. The Atari 2600, which was one of the first modern consoles when it was released in 1977, it's making a comeback. Atari and publisher Plion, I guess that's how you pronounce it, have announced the Atari 2600 Plus, which is described as a modern-day faithful recreation of the iconic console. It launches November 17th around the world, and pre-orders are available now for $130 USD. It comes with 10 of Atari's most famous games loaded onto one cartridge, including Adventure and Missile Command. It also supports any Atari 2600 or 7800 game cartridges that you might already own. It was designed using modern technology and includes the system's iconic CX40 joystick built with the same size and layout. It runs on USB power and connects to your screen via HDMI with support for multiple resolutions. It is it's 20% smaller than the original Atari, and let's see, some of the games that come with it are Adventure, Combat, Dodge'em, Haunted House, Maze Craze, Missile Command, Real Sports, Volleyball, Surround, Video Pinball, and of course, Yar's Revenge.
Kind of feel like we have to get one just so we can finally review Yar's Revenge.
See, I have an original Atari 2600, but it's so hard to hook up. But with this thing, being able to play the old cartridges and its HDMI, I think I'm going to go ahead and get one.
So I'm kind of stupid when it comes to Atari. I never owned one. I've never played one. When I initially saw the price tag and the amount of games that was coming with it, I'm like, that might be a little pricey. But since you can play the old cartridges, I think it's worth it.
I think Nintendo needs to take a page out of Atari's handbook here and put out an original NES that you could still play the old NES cartridges on.
Oh, that would break IGN if Nintendo came out with that news.
But this is awesome. I mean, yeah, $130 is a little bit high, but I mean, you can still play your old cartridges on it. It's HDMI. You'd be able to stream it, you know, very easily. Why not? I mean, that for $130, you could do worse.
Yeah, I would agree with you. And it's a pretty faithful recreation of it. You know, there's a link in the article you can click on, and it looks pretty cool. You know, I never owned one, but one of my uncles did, and I remember seeing it when I was a kid. It didn't work at the time, so I never got the chance to play it. But yeah, I may actually break down and get this.
I think this is a much better idea for Atari than releasing that VCS they released a couple of years ago that pretty much just fell off a cliff as soon as it was released. This is something that made my ears perk up as soon as I saw what it was.
Yeah, agreed.
So you're giving
this is cool.
You're giving me something that is easily hooked up to new TVs and still plays old cartridges. Yes, I'm in. Please, Nintendo, take a look at this and just think about it. Just think about it.
As they would say, the ball is in your court.
Yes, exactly. But we'll save the rest of these news articles for next week, and that'll bring us to the end of the episode. This was a fun top five list. I had a lot of fun with this one.
This was one of my favorite top fives we've done. Yeah, Brandon gave the idea a while back, and I'm like, but that's brilliant.
So
brilliant idea.
If you guys have any top five lists that you would like for us to do, go to our Discord. You can go to nerdcaveretro.com and click on the Discord tab there. That will take you to our never-ending Discord invite for that little button there, and you can go straight to our Discord, and we have we have all kind of tabs in there in the Discord, and one of them is the top five submissions, and just jump in there and say, hey, why don't you do top five whatever, and we'll if it's good, we'll do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
But Derek, what is going on with the Derek Diamond Experience?
So this week I released my interview with actor Vince Lozano, who appeared in Pirates of the Caribbean. back in the day, and also made his acting debut in a cult favorite movie called Encino Man with Brendan Fraser and Pauly Shore, which I actually saw for the first time like a year ago. Hilarious movie, and it was cool getting to, you know, hear stories about, you know, being on set for that, as well as Pirates of the Caribbean. That interview is available now on the podcast feed as well as my YouTube channel. Head over to linktree.com/ddiamondpodcast. Everything's in one location. And I know we talk about it with this show too, but if you could, whether it's on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, please leave a review, because the more reviews that the show gets, the more visible it is and the more exposure that it gets. So yes, it only takes a minute of your time and doesn't cost anything.
And on the Open Micers podcast with me and Mr. Jacob Craig, we have a returning guest, Mr. Neil Rubenstein. Rubenstein coming on to this Tuesday. Usually we do Monday nights, but this week it's a day later than normal. But he's coming back on the show, and he is an awesomely funny dude. And he has a new special on YouTube. And what is the name of the special? It is called Have Some Dignity. Go check that out on YouTube if you're looking for a really good comedy special to go watch. That's really good. And then go check out Open Micers, where we talk to him about it. So that's going to be this week at Open Micers on Twitter and Instagram. So Derek, is that it? Is that everything?
I think that's it.
Well, let's get out of here. If you want to email us at nerdcaveretro@gmail.com. Nerdcaveretro.com is our link tree, and that takes you to Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, our Patreon, and, of course, our merch shop, which you can also get to by going to ncrmerch.com. We have t-shirts, hats, stickers, magnets, bags, mugs, whatever your nerdy little heart desires. Follow us on social media at NerdCaveRetro, at JFunktastic, and at Derek_Diamond. And like Derek said earlier, go leave us a review and or a 5-star rating wherever you listen to the podcast, because you know what that's going to do? That's going to get us higher in the ratings and get us in front of more people. And we need that. We need your help to do that. So if you could do that, we would love you forever. And that being said, Derek, please tell them what it's all about.
May the way of the hero lead to the Triforce.
Sure.
Oh, a fellow checker, eh?
I have spoken.
Hey, Derek, have you heard the news?
What news?
We officially have our very own line of coffee at brezcoffeeco.com.
That's right. Nerd Cave Retro now has its very own medium roast coffee.
If you want to try it yourself, or even some of the other awesome flavors like Wizard's Potion, which is a butterscotch, caramel, and hazelnut flavored roast.
Or the Dragon's Breath Roast, which is a cinnamon dolce flavored roast.
They have tons of different flavors, and you can also just get a regular Colombian roast and add any flavor to it that you want. They even keep their seasonal roasts all year round.
If you need that boost to get you through those all-night gaming sessions, then head over to brezcoffeeco.com and use the promo code NCR for 10% off your order.
This podcast is a Zoo House LLC production.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered.
Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.